Life Beat podcast. Today we are doing a Faith in Life episode, and I'm going to be introducing our new Faith Outreach Coordinator, Tom Powell. So thank you for joining me today, Tom.
Thank you for letting me invade your podcast. I'm happy to be here.
So we used to do a Faith in Life episode once a month, and then we kind of were without a Faith Outreach Coordinator, but now we have Tom to do that. So we're going to be starting our Faith in Life features up again, and Tom will be the host of those. So now we're just going to introduce him so you guys can get to know him before he takes over that segment. So if you just want to introduce yourself a little bit, where are you from?
Sure. Thank you. Yes. I grew up here in Michigan. I'm from Howard City. Many of you maybe don't know that little town, but I'm from Howard City. I grew up there my whole life, and up until I went to college, I went to school out in California, was there for 3.5 years at West Coast Baptist College. That's where I met my wife. My wife and I met out there. We got married while I was still in school, and we had our first kid while we were out there, John. After graduation, or about a year after graduation, my wife and I, we moved to China. We were able to do some missionary work there for several years. And then I've just recently returned to America, specifically out of a desire to get involved in this movement, in the pro-life movement. So that's a little bit about me.
Great. And so why are you pro-life, or when did you become pro-life, or what made you want to be pro-life?
Okay, so let me think of how I should address that question. It's interesting, this idea of like, when do you become pro-life? Mm-hmm. In that, for me, it's kind of like who I was even prior to knowing about the issue. And even now, when I try to define my position or define my feelings about abortion, what it comes down to is that abortion is contrary to all of my values, because it's contrary to what I am, if that makes sense. Like, who I am as a human. I am a human, I am a man, I am an American, and I am a Christian. And the idea of abortion is contrary to all of those things. As a human, I believe that all humans have a right to live. As a man, I have a desire to protect other people. As an American, I believe in the right to life. That's a very foundational right that we as Americans agree to. So it's being pro-life is a very American thing. And then, of course, as a Christian, I feel that of course also not as the only reason why I'm pro-life, but perhaps as the most confidence-giving reason for being pro-life, is that I believe it to be a biblical position. And we could talk about those different things. There's the scientific side of things as to why I believe in life at conception, as many people do. And then you can talk about the moral arguments from the Bible. I think the most commonly referred to scriptural example is in Psalm 139, when David is talking about himself, saying that God oversaw his formation while he was in the womb. David talks about, he says, when I was in the lowest part of the earth. And this idiom is an idiom that was used to refer to two things. It might refer to the grave, like when you're gone and nobody can see you, you're in the lowest parts of the earth. Or it might refer to the womb. And that's what he's talking about in Psalm 139. He's in this place, just like the grave, where nobody can see him, but God could see him. And he talks about how he said all my members, and by members he's talking about the parts of his body, his arms and his legs, these different parts. He says all my members were written in your book, he says to God. All my members were written when as yet there were none of them. So very early in his development, we know that our arms and legs and the different parts of our body, though they may not be fully developed, they are fully formed very early in the pregnancy. But David talks about how God was watching over him even prior to that. So for that reason, and then for many other scriptural reasons, we could talk about John the Baptist and other people, other examples, but there's many scriptural reasons in addition, or rather even superseding the scientific reasons to be pro-life.
Was there something while you were away in China that made you be like, I need to come back now. I need to do this now and be a part of the pro-life movement?
That is a good question, and one that I haven't given much thought. I think while I was in China, this issue has always been on my heart. It was on my heart before I ever went to China. So I can't really think of specific issues or any one specific issue that said, okay, now is the time to deal with it. I mean, except for the fact that I see maybe the issue polarizing. There are many people who are joining the pro-life movement and becoming more pro-life or more outspoken about their pro-life views than they were before. But then there's also a very pulling away where there was once a time when people might argue in favor of abortion because they believed that this was a rare thing mm-hmm. that might need to take place. And because it might rarely need to take place, we need to defend that choice. But abortion isn't about that anymore. You know, 60 million unborn children later, they've not become more conservative on this position. They've not compromised on this position, as science has shown, has proven to us that a baby isn't a clump of cells, has proven to us that babies can feel pain much earlier than we thought. They've not adjusted their position at all, rather gone further down the road now to where they want abortion up to, including, and in some cases, past birth. So I suppose while I'm in China, seeing that though there are people who are joining the pro-life movement, the pro-abortion movement is moving further and further to the extreme. Mm-hmm. So definitely the need for Christians to stand and defend the unborn has become more urgent, in my opinion.
I would agree. I would agree. So you are the Faith Outreach Coordinator for Right to Life of Michigan. What does that look like? And why would people come to you for help? Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Anna, I'm the new guy. And so as the new guy, I'm still, on some level, figuring out what it is that I do here. But what I can say is that a big function of my job is helping Christians, churches, religious organizations get connected to the work that Right to Life of Michigan is doing, but also to just point them in the direction and of what opportunities they might be able to take advantage of. I think there's a lot of good people out there who have a heart for the unborn, for the other life issues that covers more than just the unborn. And these people, in their heart, they have a desire to do something, but they might not know what to do. And I think that that will be an aspect of my job, is helping these people, helping especially these Christians, these people from the faith community, find what it is that they can do.
So that kind of leads into my question. Why is your position so important? So why would it be important for churches to get involved and to connect with you?
Yeah, another good question. Let's see if I can make up a good answer. The reason why the position is important, or why the job is important, I think is that, yeah, circling back to what I was just saying, that mm-hmm. people maybe don't know what to do. That's one thing. And then the other aspect is that people forget to do things at all. Maybe many Christians, maybe church leaders, and people even from other groups, they have a heart to do something, but they have many, many things in their life. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of big stuff going on in the world, always has been, and that's been especially true these past few years. A lot of big stuff going on in the world, and people are
distracted.
Right, distracted. But even when we say distraction, it's not to negate those things that they're focused right on. Maybe they're focused on 100 very important things. Mm-hmm. So why I need to do what I do in connecting churches, connecting religious organizations to Right to Life of Michigan, why that needs to be done is because this may not always be at the forefront of people's minds. There may be cases where we have to try to convince somebody to be more pro-life, but I think more often than not, it's not a job where I'm trying to convince somebody who disagrees mm-hmm. to agree with the position, but rather convince somebody who already agrees to this position to take some action. And then also there's just the lack of information that has to be combated. I think maybe one of the biggest enemies of the pro-life movement is ignorance. Mm-hmm. Not willful ignorance even. Again, just with all the distractions and things people have going on, they might not know about something really important until it's too late. And I don't want to say too late. We can always go back and change things, and we're currently doing that sort of thing. But it would be better, you know, when there is some piece of legislation, or there is some major court case, or there is some protest event that's being planned. It's better for people to know ahead of time, mm-hmm. rather than after the fact. So I'm going to try to, while I have this job, make sure that I'm enabling these people, enabling the faith community to be aware of things before they happen, not after the fact and say, oh, I wish I knew about this. Oh, I wish I could have been involved. I wish I could have done something, said something. Let them know ahead of time.
So speaking of getting involved, how can churches get involved and help the pro-life movement, especially right now?
There's a lot of ways people can be involved, and it should be mentioned that there are a lot of ways people are already involved. So this isn't a call for people to get up and get in the work. Many people are already in the work, and some of the things that they do may depend partially just on their preferences. Some churches may be willing to have political involvement, and some churches might want to stay very far away from any mm-hmm. sort of political involvement, and that's okay, because there are many things they can do without getting at all involved in politics. There's pregnancy resource centers. They can help provide resources to these places. They can help by educating the public just about what abortion is. And that's without having to say anything about a current candidate that's running mm-hmm. or a current piece of legislation or some petition. You don't have to talk about those things at all in order to be helping in this fight. Now, on the other hand, that might be something that you're very willing to do as a church, as a pastor, to share things that are currently going on, whether it be kind of the examples I've already brought up of a lawsuit, a petition. I'm thinking of real things that are actually going on right now. As a pastor, or even as just a member within a church, a member within a group, you can make sure that that group is aware of things that are going on. Now, how do I make that even more practical? Not just in a general, make sure people are aware of what? Well, you first have to be connected yourself. Before you can make other people aware of something, you need to be filled in. You need to know what it is that you're sharing with other people. Now, Right to Life of Michigan, we have affiliates all over the state. What we can do, and if you need help with this, you can reach out to us. We can connect you with a local affiliate, whoever is closest to you. And they would be very happy to collaborate with you and consistently provide you with whatever information they might want relayed to your local church or whatever else you're involved in. So you can connect with a local affiliate. And one benefit of that is that you may be able to help them, or they may be able to help you with planning an event, for example. The last couple of weeks, I've gone to a couple events where one of our local affiliate groups worked together with a local church to plan an event. And what these events do is they help us combat that enemy I brought up earlier, which is ignorance. Ignorance is a problem in that people know after the fact what's going on. So maybe you and your local church and a local affiliate can work together to host an event, maybe a pastor's event, or maybe a church event that is inviting churches to join your church for a prayer meeting to end abortion. But at that same time, you can also use that meeting to share information about stuff that's going on right now. And you'll be quite surprised. If you're very involved and you know a lot about what's going on, you'll be really surprised how many people don't know what's going on. And that's why it's very important for you to take advantage. So those are a couple of ideas. Anna, did you have anything you think we should add to that from your perspective?
Well, my perspective from having interviewed a couple pastors in Michigan, they always, the theme is their churches that are involved are working with affiliates or have affiliate members or presidents within those churches that are pushing for the pastor to be involved. And there are a lot of pastors that want to be involved, that want to preach about it on mm-hmm. Sunday to the community, don't just want to put it in the bulletin or, you know, have a flyer in the back of the church. They want to talk about it. So I would encourage people to reach out to your pastor to let them know that there are people in the parish or the church that will support him and give him information, especially if you're an affiliate president or affiliate member. You probably already know what's going on in Michigan. And so just kind of connecting all of those different groups together and having a church group that is affiliate members is going to be really important. And then recruiting people within your church. That's something I would recommend. And what I've seen from past pastor interviews is what their church has been doing as well.
And then I would just add to that this one other facet that we never want to forget is that you as an individual and then your churches as individual churches should never undervalue the power of showing love to other individuals. Just today I was looking through kind of a video where several women were sharing their testimony of where they almost had an abortion or they were considering having an abortion and they changed their mind. And one of the women mentioned, she said, when I went to church, people were just happy to see a baby. Mm-hmm. And that it didn't matter to them where the baby came from or if this woman had done something that the church would approve of. They were happy just to see a baby. Now, I'm not asking you to compromise your convictions if you have convictions about something. That's not my point. My point is this, that you can disagree with somebody's life choices and still show them love and still show that you care about them and you still show that you're going to be there for them to support them. Many of these women feel very alone, and they ought not feel alone if they come to your church. They ought not to feel alone. If they have one Christian friend, that friend ought to make them feel like they're not alone.
Yeah, I think that is super important. Something that we, as members of our church, as pastors, as families within a church, need to remember. I recently saw a video from a social media platform that this woman was sharing her experience, and she prefaced it by saying, I went to a Christian college, and everyone in the comment section of this assumed it was going to be a very negative experience for her getting pregnant while in a Christian college. And she actually said, no, this college gave me a scholarship. They let me keep playing basketball. They supported me. They were so happy for me to have a little baby. They made my baby the mascot of our basketball team. All my teammates were like her aunts. So I think it's just really important to remember that even if you do have these convictions, our number one conviction is to support life and to support these women and to be loving to them and compassionate and to not say, well, I don't support her decisions. That can be, the consequences of that are far worse than putting those past yourself and helping that woman. So just a little reminder that we can all use every single day.
Yes, this is not a reproof for other people out there. I think Anna and I are talking to ourselves.
Yes, in that reminder.
I know that my mind is often guilty of, and we're getting off on a side subject here, but that's okay. My mind is often guilty, Anna, maybe you can identify with this as well, that I will just reduce things to facts. Like, let me tell you the scientific reasons why life begins at conception. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you all these Bible verses I know. And then and then other people, when they're facing what we refer to as a crisis pregnancy, when they're facing this, they're not thinking about that stuff at all. Mm-hmm. That's not what's at the front of their mind. The front of their mind is, what is my mom going to think?
Right.
The front of their mind is, what is my pastor going to think?
Well, and this video that I saw, the girl was explaining, my parents were, you know, involved in this church. They were leaders, they were well known, and they had a reputation in their church of being really involved and really good Christians. And so that kind of played a role into her decision to, you know, whether she was going to have an abortion or not. Mm-hmm. I do have one more question for you. Do you have any pro-life news that you want to talk about? Any events that people should know about? Anything important that people should know about right now?
There are, of course, always things going on people should be aware of. As far as new news, which is kind of the definition of news, there's not something that really comes to mind. There are the issues I'm sure you've already brought up on the podcast and stuff that we probably, if people are closely following Right to Life of Michigan, you're hearing us talk about the same thing over and over again. But that's because it's very important.
Reminders never hurt.
Right. This is what I'll talk about is something, the petition drive. And if there's people out there listening who are not aware of the petition drive, kind of the basic summary of that is that Planned Parenthood is backing this group called Reproductive Freedom for All, and they are petitioning to amend the Michigan Constitution. Now, right now, we're facing the real possibility that Roe v. Wade could be overturned. And many people maybe don't understand the consequences that would follow Roe v. Wade being overturned. How would that affect their individual state? Well, here in Michigan, it would theoretically be a world of difference in that right now, abortion is still very, very common here. However, it would be practically outlawed with the overturn of Roe v. Wade in that our laws already have abolished abortion. We already did that a long time ago, back in 1846, and again in 1931, we kind of reaffirmed our state's position on abortion. It's already been abolished here, except in the case of saving the life of the mother. However, with this petition drive, what they're trying to do is make it a part of Michigan's constitution that a right to abortion is a human right that is going to be protected by our constitution. That's their goal. If that were passed, then Roe v. Wade being overturned would make no difference for Michigan at all. In fact, if that amendment was passed, our current abortion law, you could say, would be more radical after Roe v. Wade than it was before. So, of course, we want to see Roe v. Wade overturned, and I think that's a real possibility that we may come to see very soon. But we must protect our existing laws, our laws that have already abolished abortion. The other side wants to overturn those things, but we need to be aware of that. If you're not already aware of that, you can go to the website. What is the website called, Anna, specifically for the coalition?
Support Women Children.
Right. I think it's supportmiwomenandchildren.org, right?
There's no and in there.
There's no and. Okay.
So
supportmiwomenchildren.org. Okay. So you type that in. You should be able to find it. It might not be the first result that comes up when you search it, but you should be able to find it. There's a Facebook page as well, so you can search on Facebook. When you find that on that website, there is an analysis of the proposed amendment. So when they circulate the petition, they'll just kind of have a paraphrase, but the actual amendment they want to add to the Michigan Constitution is there on the site. And on the site, we provide an analysis. By that, I mean it's broken down paragraph by paragraph, phrase by phrase, so that Americans, or rather Michiganders, can see the potential consequences of this amendment. It endangers a lot more than just abortion. Abortion is our big issue, but it carries over into a lot of other areas.
Yes, and I will say, just a little plug, our website, rtl.org, has a ton of information. Also, if you want to receive email updates, you can do that on there as well. And also, if you want your church to be involved, or you want to talk about maybe your church being involved, or you want to get in touch with Tom, you can email info@rtl.org, and we will reach back out to you with some information. So I think that wraps it up for today. Thank you, Tom, for joining me and for being with us at Right to Life in Michigan and helping us out.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, of course. Thank you all for joining us today, and I hope you have a great weekend.